the mic on, thought I turned it on, and one of the ladies had to take her kid out to the nursery, and she was in the nursery and did not hear a word I preached. I didn't realize it. Today I'm hoping to be a little encouragement today for y'all. I've been praying, seeking what God was wanting me to preach. I figured I'd preach this week. I started in Sunday school about a month ago. We started talking about doing something for God. David encouraged us. I used the phrase "let us," and they thought I was talking about the vegetable. It's "let us," two words. But David, brother Gene uses this verse quite a bit on Facebook. Do you mind if I use your verse? I like the verse brother Gene uses on Facebook, especially when he's advertising his church. It's in Psalms 122, verse 1. And it, of course, it's a good verse here. In 22:1, it says, let me get to the right page. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." David, and we're going to be in Psalms 95 here in just a minute. David was glad when they said, "Let us." Not just him, but us. And we as Christians has got to realize church is not just for the preacher. The church is not for just old people. Church is for everybody, young, old, all in between. And I thank God that I'm able to go to a church, that I'm able to worship God. And that's what we're going to talk about. And in Hebrews, and I'll be in Hebrew, but in Hebrews 25 it says, "Forsaking not the assembly of your assembly together, for the time draws nigh." I didn't get that right, but you know what I'm talking about. We shouldn't forsake ourselves on not going to church. There's too many people that says, "I don't need to go to church." I've heard people say that. "I've got all the church I need." I believe we should be in the church every time the church door is open, that we're able to be there physically. There shouldn't be no excuse missing God's house. But like I said, we'll start there. David was encouraged. He was glad when they said, "Let us." We should be glad every time the church door is open that we have an opportunity to be there. And not only in Psalms 95, it starts out and says, "Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of my salvation." First of all, it says, of course, we're going to come into the house of the Lord, was first of all. The second all is sing unto the Lord. We've done this week. We've been in the house of the Lord. It seems like everyone that's been here has been glad to be here. And we've sung. And we've sung some good songs. We've not sung the 7-Eleven songs, as Brother Yarbrough usually says when he's around. We've sang songs, true spiritual hymns. And I thank God for that. We have songs that mean something. They're not just a bunch of words. I've got a boy that's been coming to church over the last month. He used to be a member of our church. He's been coming last month. And he was talking. He went to church. He missed one of the Sundays that he could be there. He went to church with someone else. He went to one of these mega churches. His friend asked him on the way from church, he said, "So what did you think of my church?" He said, "Well, it was different." He said, "No, tell me, why was it different?" He said, "I didn't expect," and he would know. He goes, "I didn't expect to go to a rock concert." He told him that. He goes, "You want me to be honest? I did not expect to go to a rock concert." He goes, "I expected to go to church." He said, "There was a rock concert before there was anything called church." But that would seem that informed of us. But we're here, we're singing spiritual hymns, and that's what he was getting to. That wasn't church. That wasn't nothing like church. And he shared that with our preacher, and I think about that. We sing unto the Lord. And that's who we should be singing to. We shouldn't be singing to each other. We should be singing to glorify God. The good part about it is, it continues to say, even in verse 2, it says, make a joyful noise. Don't say we should sing perfect harmony. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And I thank God, I love to sing. And I love these church songs. And I'm glad it says make a joyful noise. Because if it said make a perfect noise, I wouldn't be able to sing. But we look here in verse 2, it says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. We have thanked God for everything he's done for us. I thank God for being here this week. Being able to have the time off. Being able to be a part of this. Yes, the numbers are down this year. But it's been a blessing. I thank God for that. I tell our young people, we go to Celine over the Camp Canaan at youth camps. And they run about 100 kids each camp. I said, I remember one year I went to camp, there was only 40 campers. I said, that was one of the sweetest camps I've been to. When the numbers are down, the Spirit of God moved a little closer. The Spirit of God moved in. And I was thankful for that camp. But I'm thankful for each camp that I go to. Because you never know when it's going to be the last time you're going to hear one of your good preacher friends or heroes of faith preach. You never know. You never know what's going to happen in life. We've got to be thankful for each day we have. Thankful to be here to encourage each other. I have been encouraged all week, starting with Brother Benny Wednesday night. I have got something out of each of your all's messages that they preached. I have put little notes down. The brother that preached, I don't even see him in here, that preached earlier. I like that. Bad news, devil ain't giving up. Ain't quitting. Bad good news, he don't win. I like that. I noted that. I enjoyed that. That was encouraging. I am thankful for stuff like that. In verse 6 of Psalms 95, it says, come, let us worship and bow. Let us kneel before him, before the Lord our Maker. Let us worship. I believe there's been worship going on here this week in each and every one of our things. It's one thing to go to church and say, I'm here. It's another thing to worship. We've got to be in the frame of mind when we go to church that we're here not just for the sole purpose of filling a bench. Not to fill that, Brother Richardson could say, well, I've had a good turnout for camp. We're here to worship. And that's what he puts this camp here for. He sets aside time so we could worship God. Bring preachers in. And I enjoy this. And I thank God. But we're here to worship God. And we're here to praise God. And true worship. What is true worship? Have you ever thought about what true worship is in your life? You don't have to be in church to worship. There's been times on the way to work, I get to work and don't know how I got to work because I've been chewing on a scripture or listening to something on the radio that's been God felt. And it's hard to explain sometimes. And it's like, God, I'll get in the car on the way to work, and I'll talk to God. And I worship now and then. And I thank God for that worship time, that one-on-one time. But it also says, and bow down. Too many churches don't use their altars anymore. The altar is just there. It's a step to get up on, to get onto the platform. Bow down. Have you bowed down to God? Some people, I understand some people can't get down on the floor. And I do understand that of age. We baptized middle of September, and I usually squat to take the pictures when they're baptizing at the river. I went to squat, and I couldn't hold my position long enough. So I sat down on the ground. Amy said, you're going to get your dress pants dirty. I said, I don't care. I can't sit that way no more. So, but bowing down to God, actually worshiping God, There, it's a humbling experience when we get on our knees before God. Because we look in the next and it says, let us bow down and let us kneel before our Lord, our Maker. Our God wants us to bow down before Him. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. We shouldn't be bowing down to other things in life. And we look at people that may not bow down or kneel down to the object, but they're bowing down to Him. They're putting more greater emphasis on that than they are God in their life. What is most important in your life? We think about the psalmist here. He is encouraging us to bow, to pray, get on bended knees before God. If we jump back to Psalms 34, I'm going to go to Hebrews here shortly, but in Psalms 34, in verse 3, it says, O magnify the Lord, and let us exalt His name together. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. There's no other name greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He is our King. He saved us from sin. We are thankful for the grace that He's given us and the salvation. We think about what we've heard this week so far. We've heard how God saved our souls and how grateful we are for that grace and that mercy. And we look at Him and we praise God for that. We listen to these preachers praise God. We listen to Samuel, unprepared this morning, but he was grateful for that grace. You never know what God has for you. Even in troubles, even in trials, we got to be thankful for them. God has a purpose for that. We got to come out of that valley thanking God, praising God, exhorting Him higher than any other thing. We look at Job. When he said Job, I thought, where is he going to go in Job this afternoon? But you look at Job's life. I looked at our boys in Sunday school and I said, think about what Job has went through in life. Think about what he went through. He was a great man. The devil said, let me have him. I'll show you he won't stay true to you. He still praised God in the lowest of his. He's lost everything. He even lost his health so bad, but he couldn't take his life. His wife, his friends, his family said, forsake God, curse God, give him up. But Job would not do that. Job was true to his faith. And if we turn over to Hebrews, In Hebrews chapter 10, there are some encouragements on that us. Not only in a public sense, not only together, we also look in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 22, it begins, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of the faith, having our heart sparkle from evil conscience. Let our bodies be washed with pure water. We look at that. Let us draw nigh to a true heart in full assurance of our faith. Where is your faith today? Who do you have faith in? Do you have faith in your stock market? Do you have faith in your money? What about your kids? What about your family? Where is your true faith held? A lot of people pitch their faith in other things. We got to put our true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this other stuff will come together if we think about it. We put our faith in the Lord no matter what we're going through, no matter what troubles or trials we go through in life. If we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's there. And He's always there for us. Having our hearts sparkle from an evil conscience. And our bodies washed. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise. First comes to mind when I read that. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We've got to be steadfast in our faith. Faith, you can change people's minds easily. Even when it comes to faith. Me and Brother Hancock were in the parking lot last night talking. We look at our churches. Where they've been and where they're at now. And you think about it. People ain't true to their faith. They're not true to God. These mega churches are they're giving into the world. These are something I want. It appeals to the flesh. They're feeding the flesh. But we've got to humble ourselves to God and be true to our faith. And here in verse 24 it said, "Let us consider one another, provoked unto love and unto good work." We're here to encourage each other. We're here to make sure we're watching the weaker brothers, to encourage the weaker brothers. And we think about things we go through in life. It's always an encouragement to see someone. I get encouraged every time I come down here because I see some of the same faces all the time. Know where the faithful here sits in church on a regular basis. It's odd when you come into church and you like, "Where's so and so?" They're usually there. We look at church and we think about. And I think about my church. We're creatures of habit. We sit in the same place in church all the time. It's like we have assigned seats. I told our young people, I said, if we moved around, it would confuse our preacher because he knows where we're at. I was doing something he had me do, and he started looking for me, and I was standing up in the front of the church right there doing something for his computer. He says, "Where's Cliff?" And everybody just laughed because I was standing there right almost 10 feet away from him. He's looking for me in my spot. I wasn't where I usually sit. But we look at people, we think about where they've been. Then you look at them empty spots where the faithful people used to sit. I think about our charter members, where they sit in church. Of course, all our charter members that's been faithful through the years have gone on to be with the Lord. And I think about Brother Ralph and Miss Catherine. They sat two benches behind us in the back. They sat on the back bench. He always had his peppermint. But he was true to something. He was true to God. He came to church until he couldn't come no more. All these members did. And I think about Miss Georgia, Brother Otis, they used to sit, when we first started church, they sat right behind us. But they were faithful to God. They were there, encouraging. I think about Miss Catherine. I love Miss Catherine. Miss Catherine was the preacher's mom. She was my Sunday school teacher. I call her my only Sunday school teacher until I went into the adult class. When I started church, she was my Sunday school teacher. They decided to move the Sunday school around when I was getting promoted, and I was in another Sunday school class for 1 week. Then I went right back into Miss Catherine's Sunday school class. So I call her my Sunday school teacher there. And she's always been an encouragement to me. She's always saying, "You need to do this. You need to do something like this." Always encouraged me, "Keep up what you're doing." She said, she would tell me, you're doing good there. If I was doing bad, she'd let me know I was doing bad, too. She was always there. She was my coach. She was my get-behind person. She might not say it out loud to everybody else, but she'd get behind me and she'd tell me, "Hey, I appreciate what you're doing there." We need people like that in our churches, especially for our young people. I remember that. When she passed away, one of our other ladies has took her spots, and she just says, "I've not told her that. She has encouraged me." It's like, wait a minute, this encourager's gone. Let me get you a new encourager. And I thank God for that. Because that's what we're here for. We're not here just to be here to fill up a bench. We're here to encourage other people. These preachers' fellowships, these camp meetings we go to, We're here to encourage the other preachers, the other brothers, and their church members to keep giving on to the Lord. Keep going on. And I referred to the verse already. In verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as manner is some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We know the coming of the Lord is close. How close is it? Is it 5 minutes? Is it a year? Or is it 20 years? We don't know. No man knows the hour. No man knows that. But we are living in this time where we're seeing stuff in life coming true, coming out, that's playing out. I know, I don't got the company in front of me. Anybody seen on the news a couple months ago where the company out in Wyoming, Three Markets, that's who it is. Anybody's heard of Three Markets? I asked my church that. Three Markets are microshipping their employees. It's all volunteer right now. Shows you the time is approaching. It's all volunteer right now. They had 25 people accept this microchip in their hand. It's all volunteer right now. Things that it does. Lets them get into their computer. Lets them make phone calls. Let them go into two break rooms. Let them go buy stuff out of the vending machine and hold their medical records. This one is removable. This microchip's removable. Right now, the pictures I've seen, it's been on the right hand. They're not sure how this microchip's going to work, how it's going to relate to people. It's been going on for 2 years in Sweden. The company that's made, it's been doing it for 2 years. Just started in Three Markets there, and it blew my mind when I seen it. It's like, wow. As you see the day approaching. We live in a cashless society. I very seldom carry cash. I usually have a credit card. I recently linked my credit card to my phone and to my watch. I asked somebody, I says, how do you use this? I don't know. And one of the girls there, we went and bought James something. I said, I just want to try it out. I was curious. Swipe a credit card or stick it in the machine and you wait. I tapped the things on my things like she said, and she said, lay it on the machine. Laid it on the machine, the receipt printed just like that. I was dumbfounded. I'm thinking, these are things that the Bible talks about. We're seeing the day approaching. We need to be in church on a regular basis. We need to assemble together. We need to encourage each other because we don't know what God has in store for tomorrow. We're only guaranteed today. He might come. Lord forbid one of us go out here and be in a car wreck and be gone. We've heard that happen. We think about stuff like that. Brother Sisson talks about his son. He questioned God about it. Think about that. I'm just going down the road with a friend. Go see the mom with him. Who would have thought? That would have been it. That me and Nathan were good friends. We went to camp together. And I think about that. One decision. We don't know what decision we're going to make. Carrie talked about 2 inches the other night. Thank God he's there. And we look back in our lives and we think about things that has gone on. We're here for a purpose. We're here to encourage each other. We need to be an encouragement to each other. Not just the preacher preaching his message, but the church being an encouragement to each and every one of us. And we think about this, and we think about how encouraging, how close was your life? She says 2 inches. I remember hanging on the back of a garbage truck. my boss. I done it every time. We pick up this trash, and I dump the can. I jump on the driver's side of the truck. I remember this plain as day. For some reason, he wouldn't let me hang on that truck that day. He tooted his horn, and I walked around, and I said, all we're doing is we're crossing 27, and the next stop's right there. That's three lanes of traffic. Not even a quarter of a mile. We got out. We both got out, got the garbage dumping in the truck. This truck pulls up behind us. I just hit you all. Do what? We didn't feel nothing. Didn't know nothing about it. He said, yeah, I just hit you all. See my damage to my truck? Look at the damage to your truck. Where I was supposed to be standing, that little platform they have hanging on the back was up against the truck. God has a purpose for me being here. I thank God for that. I could give you other stories, too, where God has protected me. But that one sticks out in my mind. We got back in that cab, and Bernie looked at me, and he says, now ain't you glad I told you to get into this truck? I said, I'll never cross 27 again on the back of that truck. I said, why did you ask? He said, I don't know. I said, with Dwayne, I'm always on hanging on the back of that truck. God has a purpose for each and every one of us here. Many times we come through life. We don't know what it's for. But we need to draw true to our God. God is here for us. We're here for each other. We're to encourage. We're to lift up. Brother Richardson.